Fiat. September 28, 1935. The divine love invests each act of the creature. How God, in all of His works, calls all and does good to all. How the divine life is formed in the creature. How it is nourished and raised. I was following the acts of the divine will, which transported me into an interminable sea of light, in which it made present to me with how much love God had loved the creature. It is so great that if the creature could comprehend it, her heart would explode with pure love, unable to resist the impetus, the stratagems, the industries, the finesses of this love of God. Too little as I am, these flames devour me. And my beloved Jesus, visiting my little soul to sustain me, told me, "My blessed daughter, let me give vent to my love. Listen to me. You must know that the creature has always been with us in our divine mind. She has always kept her place within the bosom of her Creator. And each of her acts, thoughts, words, works, and steps were sealed ab eterno with a special love of ours. So, in each of her acts, there is the chain of many acts of love of ours, which envelop the act, thought, of the creature. And this, our love, gives life and nourishes the repetitions of all of our acts. And oh, how beautiful she is in our divine mind, because she is formed by the continuous breath of our love. Wanted love, not forced. Not a love of necessity, but rather generative virtue of our Supreme Being that always generates and places its continuous love upon its works. This is the virtue of our omnipotent fiat, that if it did not generate new works and did not maintain the continuous act of loving, it would feel as though suffocated in its own flames and paralyzed in its continuous motion. Now, wanting to issue the creature from our divine bosom, we'll let her walk her little way in time. And our love does not stop assailing, investing, courting all her acts with its special love. If this were missing, the generative, vivifying, and moving force of the human being would be missing. Oh, if the creatures knew that in each of their thoughts runs a distinct love of ours, and so in their words and works, and even in their breath and heartbeat, oh, how they would love us and would not profane with unworthy acts our love so great. See then how your Jesus loves you and knows how to love you. Therefore, learn from me how to love me. This is the prerogative of our love, to always love everything that has come out of us, to make all the acts of the creature arise from within our love." Jesus became silent, and I remained to think about the excess of the divine love. My beloved Jesus added, "My daughter, keep listening to me. Our love is so great that in each work that we do, we call everyone as if they were one alone in order to give to each one the good of the work that we do. We would not operate as God if our acts did not have the virtue of being able to give themselves to all, to give the good that they contain. Listen then. My conception in the womb of a virgin was the greatest work of the whole history of the world. By our fiat just wanting it so. It incarnated itself, without anyone forcing us or deserving it, and with no need on our part. The need was our love, and only because it wanted it so. It was an act so great as to enclose and embrace all, and it contained so much love as to seem incredible, so much so that heaven and earth are still astounded and enraptured, and all felt invaded by so much love as to be able to feel my life conceived within all. See then, where my love leads me, to be conceived in each soul, in each instant and always. Conceived once, I conceive always. Is this not like being conceived in the consecrated host, in each act of the creature that loves me and does my divine will? Now, this is not all yet, until my love gives unto excesses as to be able to say, "Do you see how much I have loved you? I had nothing left to do and to give you in order to love you. Aren't you happy?" Listen to where I reach. Just as in the womb of the Holy Virgin, I breathed through her breath, warmed by her warmth, nourished by her blood, so do I expect the breath, the warmth, the growth from the creature that possesses me in order to develop my life. But do you know in what constraints my love puts me? When the creature loves me, she gives me breath. She gives me warmth. Each good she does, if she prays, if she suffers for me, if she adores me and glorifies me, she makes me grow. She gives me motion and contributes to form me inside her soul. So, if she does not love me and gives me nothing, I feel out of breath, with no warmth or nourishment, and I do not grow. Alas, in what constraints does my love put me, and the ingratitude of the creature? Now, if she gives me the good of letting me grow in such a way as to let me fill her soul completely with my life, then do I carry out my life in her. I walk in her feet. I work in her hands. I speak in her voice. I think within her mind. I love inside her heart. And I receive my contentment. How happy I am. Nothing is left of the creature other than a veil that covers me. I am the master, the actor. I form my field of action. I can do whatever I want. My divine will repeats its omnipotent fiat continuously. My love has received its conception. It goes into follies, for it has formed its life in the creature. Therefore, there is nothing I do, whether in creation, in redemption, in the sanctification, in my sacramental life, or in heaven and on earth, in which my love, with rapid flights, does not run to give to all the good that I do, the sanctity of my works. Hence, no one can say, "He did not do this for me. This good I have not received." If then, ungrateful, they do not receive it, it's all their fault. But my part is not lacking to anyone. But see where my love reaches. Even if they do not let me grow, leaving me without the breath of their love, the nourishment of my will, and they make me shiver with cold because their wills are not with me, and I remain even without clothing, like the most perverted and abject, because their works are not upright and holy, and are far from pleasing me alone, whom they should serve in order to clothe me. Yet I do not leave, bearing such great human ingratitude, and waiting with invincible patience and preparing a surprise of love, a grace that would strike men more, to having give me what is necessary to let me grow in his soul, because at any cost, I want to form my life in the creature. I use all arts to obtain my intent, and many times I am forced to lay hand to the scourges, to make myself known that I am present in her soul. My daughter, compassionate me, and repair for such great human ingratitude. I am everything for them. I give them continuous breath and heartbeat, motion, warmth, and nourishment. And they, ungrateful, deny me that which I give to them, after I gave them the great honor of making of them my living temple, my royal palace upon earth. What pain, what sorrow. Therefore, I recommend to you, don't leave me without the breath of your love. Give me at least what is needed to let me grow. Let my will be your life, so as to let me dwell in your royal palace with decorum and with the sumptuousness that your Jesus deserves.